is redemption.
Coming to you live from Section 5, Row 23. This is the Forever Faithful Podcast. The calendar has officially moved to the month of June, and we are one day closer to the start of the 49ers 2018 season. Welcome to Episode 8 of the Forever Faithful Podcast. I'm JD, joined, as always, by 49er Tone and JP, and man, we are hyped up to be with you guys today. We're recording this early on a Sunday morning, but there's nothing better to talk about on a Sunday morning than 49er football. Am I right? Let's hop right on into it, because there are plenty of news and notes in the world of the San Francisco 49ers for us to get to. So, first things first here on first down, we're going to get into the latest and greatest as it pertains to the Dez Bryant rumors. If you're on social media, if you don't live under a rock, I'm sure you've heard about the rumors that the San Francisco 49ers and Dez Bryant are kind of linked together. Dez Bryant wants to play with the San Francisco 49ers. He's posting on Instagram that he wants to be a 49er. They're speculating on ESPN and NFL Network, oh, how would Dez fit with the 49ers? Do you think Dez is going to go there? Do you think the Niners are interested? Reports are coming out saying that the Niners are not likely to sign Dez Bryant. It's kind of crazy right now in that regard. So we wanted to get into this whole situation, give you our thoughts on, you know, Dez Bryant coming to this team, whether or not we think it's a good fit. The whole situation. So, I'm going to start it off, and, you know, I'm going to tell it to you like this. Dez Bryant is in the prime of his career. If you look at his age, he's only 29. Julio Jones is also 29 years old. Dez Bryant is a few years removed from being considered one of the elite receivers in the game. And, you know, now that Tony Romo stepped down and he's had to play with Dak Prescott the last couple of years, his play has kind of slipped. And, you know, you're starting to hear you know, more rumblings about Dez not being happy there. The Cowboys cut Dez. You know, they replaced him with guys like Allen Hurns and Michael Gallup. I mean, who knows if that's indicative of Dez Bryant's, you know, skill on the field declining, or if Dez Bryant was just unhappy and they wanted to get rid of him. But Dez is a free agent, and a lot of people are trying to link him to the 49ers. Personally, I don't think the Niners need Dez Bryant. If you look at the receiver core that they have now with Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, Richie James, Dante Pettis, they all kind of fit one trait. They can all make every play on the field. They can run every route. They can create separation. Whereas Dez Bryant, he's a great downfield jump ball guy, but he doesn't really run the greatest routes. He doesn't really get the best separation. I don't see Dez Bryant being a fit on this team, not for what Kyle Shanahan looks for, not for what he demands out of his wide receivers. Now, of course, this team kind of struggled in the red zone last year, and Dez Bryant would certainly help that, but that's only one part of the field. So I don't think we're going to bring in Dez Bryant, especially for the money that he would require just to be an end zone jump ball guy. So, JP, what do you think about the whole Dez Bryant rumors, and do you think that Dez Bryant would be a good fit on this team?
No, I definitely don't think he'll be a good fit on this team. You know, if I'm just looking at the stats real quick, and I'm doing a little research, and, you know, Dez Bryant, he caught about 70 balls last year for about 800 yards. And if you look at Marquise Goodwin, now granted they're a different type of wide receiver, but you know, Marquise Goodwin caught, you know, 50 balls last year and was just shy of a 1,000-yard receiver. So granted, you know, Dez Bryant did catch more touchdowns. JD, like you were saying, he's more of a touchdown type of guy. But Dez Bryant, he's the type of guy that requires the ball. He's going to want, you know, easy 5-6 catches per game, 7 catches, whatever it may be. He wants the ball. And that's not how this offense works, I'm telling you. This offense, like you were mentioning, JD, we have the wide receivers in place now to make this offense successful. You know, we need wide receivers to make separation. Marquise Goodwin is one of them. You know, you can even look at the new draft picks that we got. Trent Taylor last year, he was one, you know, played really, really well. And I don't think Dez Bryant has that type of ability to do so. But you know, I'm not sure if the Niners really need anything else at wide receiver. I know going into free agency, a lot of people were hyped and you know, wanted to add more, but you know, you have guys like, you know, Kendrick Bourne, who's really emerging in, you know, in training, you know, upcoming training camp and OTAs, and I don't think we really need anything else. I think we have the young guys, which we need. I mean, even you look back at Kyle Shanahan, what he had. Yeah, he had, you know, Julio Jones and whatnot, but outside of that, he made do with the wide receivers he had. He didn't need big flashy wide receivers. Like I said, outside of Julio Jones, I think you're going to be good, and especially with a quarterback like Jimmy G, who can find. I mean, look at it last year. I mean, he only played, you know, the last couple games, and the wide receivers looked amazing. You know what I mean? So if it's not broke, don't fix it. That's my thoughts. So Dez Bryant, that's a big X for me. Tone, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, it's a two-part question for me. Will the 49ers, do I think the 49ers bring in Dez Bryant? No, I don't think so. But personally, would I want Dez Bryant to be brought in? Hell yeah, I do. And the reasons being is, and I totally understand where you guys are coming from. Is he a fit? You know, our locker room, the receivers that we do have, you know, the type of money he might command. I'll say this, and it's, you can't sign all flashy names, you know, the big splash or anything. But I'll say this, with him being in the middle of his prime, and I know his numbers have declined, but in recent years, but you know, also the quarterback situation in Dallas has affected that. And of course, Jason Garrett, I'm not a fan of his at all. So I think he's horribly, horribly overrated as a coach. I just think it's, the whole offense was stagnant and Dez Bryant, you know, suffered. But something, you know, with the Kyle Shanahan offense, you know, the big play receiver, especially in the red zone, the big body, the guy who the dog. And, you know, I'm hoping we, you know, Richie James makes the team. I'm excited. You guys know I'm excited for Pettis. But why not bring in Dez Bryant and bring in that depth? You know, is Pierre Garçon going to stay healthy throughout the whole year? Will Goodwin, you know, Trent Taylor? I mean, these guys, you can't always count on, them being healthy, anybody being healthy the whole year. If you can bring in a top talent like Dez Bryant anytime, you got to pull the trigger. And someone like him, who has the experience, and you know, he gives Jimmy G another threat. Who Jimmy G's accuracy can't thread that needle. You know, they talk about Dez Bryant's separation, this and that. But if the ball is threading the needle like Jimmy G does, and Dez Bryant will get that ball. And I would bring him in, man. Why not? You know, even. I don't know what he's going to command, but even if you bring him in and it's $1 to $2 million or whatever, and you don't like what you see in training camp, go ahead and cut him. You know, but I would bring him in, and that's my opinion.
So real quick, Tone, this is what I think, just to respond to you real quick. I think I'm not sure if you can to bring him in for depth. The type of attitude that he, you know, the type of baggage that he brings, I don't think he's a depth kind of guy. Now, don't get me wrong. If one of our guys goes down, you know, knock on wood, hopefully not. But, you know, if Garcon goes down, or if Goodwin goes down, or both, then, yeah, go ahead. Let's sign a wide receiver, and then you can bring Dez in. You know what I mean? But to sign him now and to have him sit on the bench, or to have him, you know, back up somebody, I just don't think that he will take very well to that. So I don't know. That's my thought on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with the whole locker room situation. Everybody's like a family. Everybody's close-knit. You know, I get that. And I get the chemistry part about it. I really do. But talent trumps all. And I think, to me, if the talent is there, you would always want to try to pull the trigger, especially if he's not command. I mean, he's not going to command top dollar. He can't. There's no biters out there. You know, so if you can bring him in and it's cost effective, why not? But also to your point, though, JP, you know, when you said he might not want to, if he wants to come to the 49ers, he knows he has to compete. And that has to be set in the negotiation table. He has to know that. So that's going to be on him if he wants to decide. But, you know, let it be known, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, 49ers, you're going to have to compete for a job. And that's just how that is. But again, to my point is, why not bring him in and let him compete? Wouldn't that make Goodwin better? Wouldn't that make Trent Taylor better? You know, Pettis, especially Richie James. You know what I mean? Just that attitude, that dog attitude. Why not? But I get the point with the whole locker room, you know, chemistry, because that is big, and that's the one thing that we have going into the season that we know for sure, that this team is a family, and they're willing to, you know, go through a brick wall for each other. So, but yeah, that you know, that's my thing with Dez Bryant, is bring in all the talent that we can and see what sticks, you know. So,
yeah, that's a good point, man. You know, competition in training camp and OTAs is always really, really good. So I see where you're coming from, but I think with that, I think we're gonna move on to second down. So here on second down, we're going to be talking about the Eric Armstead camp, and our very own JD was live and direct there. So, JD, you want to give us a little rundown on what happened and what went down over there in Sacramento?
Absolutely. First things first, Eric Armstead had a huge charity weekend this past weekend here in Sacramento. It began with a big charity gala dinner down in downtown Sacramento. He brought in a few of his teammates, and they raised money for charity. One notable thing from that event was that Richard Sherman, he sold two jerseys that he autographed for $5,000 apiece. So Richard Sherman alone raised $10,000 for charity just by signing a couple jerseys at the event. Now, that event was good and everything. They raised a lot of money for charity. It brought in a lot of local dignitaries, a lot of local people. Always good for the Sacramento area to see, you know, athletes giving back and raising money for charity. And he also had his third annual 916 football camp on Saturday, June 2nd, and I was able to attend that event over at Leotata Floyd Elementary School here in Sacramento. Now, for those of you that don't know, Eric Armstead is a resident or you know, he's a native of Elk Grove, California, which is a suburb of Sacramento. And so Eric Armstead's close to this community, and he's held a football camp the past 3 years out here in this area. And this year he brought along a few of his teammates. He does every year, but this year was a little bit different. He brought out some guys like Jaquaski Tart. He He brought out Akello Witherspoon, who's from Sacramento, played his high school ball at Christian Brothers High School here in Sacramento. Tony Girardetti, former 49er. He's a current free agent. He was out there as well. And Marquise Goodwin, wide receiver of the 49ers. He was also there at the event. And it was a good event. I mean, aside from the fact that it was about 100 degrees outside and extremely hot, it was a very good event. You had probably 400 or 500 people there, which included 200 kids that were part of the football camp. The players interacted with all the NFL guys, and there was also some local high school coaches that were there. Eric's high school coach, Joe Catalico, from Sheldon High School, who actually coached Eric during his days at Pleasant Grove High School, was out there kind of spearheading the event. They had different stations set up for all the kids to do different drills and whatnot. Eric and all his 49er teammates were interacting with the players, showing them how to do the drills and whatnot. It was a good event. It was good for the kids. They had fun. They learned a lot. And it was fun. After the event, they gave the kids free pizza and drinks. Body Armor was out there giving out free drinks to everybody as a sponsor. Overall, hey, it was a good event. It was kind of free form. Wasn't very organized. I mean, the players were just kind of walking around amongst the crowd, and people were talking to them, taking photos and getting autographs. And it was a fun event. It was kind of low pressure. And, I really commend Eric Armstead for doing this event. You don't see a lot of that stuff here in the Sacramento area. Overall, I thought the event was great. And I actually had the opportunity to speak with a couple of the guys, namely Eric Armstead and Marquise Goodwin. And we got a little bit of audio for you guys from the event. So with that, let's start with the Eric Armstead interview.
So how do you feel about the turnout of the event today?
It's been great. Trying to help as many people as we can. It's been awesome.
It seems like every year this camp gets bigger and better. Is that kind of your goal?
Yeah, that's the goal, to grow it and help more people each year.
What does it mean to you to give back to your community like this?
Oh, it's great. I love being from here. I love supporting the people here. I feel like it's my responsibility to help the people out in these communities where I'm from.
What kind of an impact do you think an event like this could have on a young player that's out here today?
I don't know what type of impact it could have. Just try to inspire them, hopefully motivate them to, to reach the next level.
And then a couple football questions, if you don't mind. How are you feeling coming into your, training camp this year?
I feel good. I'm excited about what the team, what we can do, and it's going to be a fun year.
What do you think about playing the big end in your defensive scheme?
Oh, it's been great. I think it's a natural position for me, and it suits my play style well, and I'm looking forward to it.
And what are your expectations for yourself this year?
Just expect to master my role, the team, do what the coaches ask of me, and hopefully help win some games.
Awesome.
So there's Eric Armstead. We also had a chance to speak with Marquise Goodwin, and here's what Marquise Goodwin had to say.
Why did you decide to get involved with this event with Eric?
He's a good friend of mine, and he's my teammate, and he asked me, and really didn't have too much else going on, so it was no reason for me to not come.
Okay. What do you think of some of the talent you saw out there today, some of the kids?
Well, the kids look great. A lot of great young talent coming up. I'm glad that I could be a part of their camp experience.
How do you think an event like this could impact a young player?
Definitely feel like an event like this can be very impactful for a young player, being that they're young. Some of them aspire to be in our positions that we're in, and so us just showing face and being here and showing them in the physical what success looks like and what it's like to be a professional. It kind of resonates a little closer with them. So
there you have it, guys. The Forever Faithful podcast with the great opportunity to speak with a couple of your San Francisco 49ers. Tone, what did you think about the interviews and you've heard about the 49er camp, and what do you think about what the guys had to say, and how do you feel about Eric, giving back to his community like this?
I think it's a great deal, man, especially when players give back to their community. We always hear negative stuff, with the news media, when these players mess up. But when these players do good, and I'm glad you were there covering it, brother, you know, people don't get to hear stuff like this, you know, what they do for their communities, what they do for the kids. And I think it's just a positive thing, man. And growing up in the inner city, you know, as myself, you know, seeing a lot of bad stuff, you know, seeing some positive stuff for any of the youth to come up and stuff. I mean, that speaks, not only speaks volumes, but that does going to do so much for these young kids, man. And I'm just happy that, you know, you were there to report it, witness it. And I'm just glad that, you know, one of the media is covering it and showing, shedding light on the good that, you know, these players do. But as far as the interviews, man, great job. Armstead, you know I had some things to say about him, I think, in the very first podcast, what I thought about him switching position. But, I heard he's changing his physique. And, you know, we'll see what this, you know, his last year on his contract, we'll see what he does this upcoming year switching positions. You know, I'm excited for this defense. So, you know, just hopefully he stays healthy. You know, Goodwin, I'm excited for him as well. He seemed a little tired. You know, I know it was like 1,000 degrees. It had to have been up there. He seems a little tired. But no, man, I totally understand, man. They were there for the kids and stuff. And it's just awesome that they were, you know, willing to, you know, to speak with you. So, what a great event, man. I'm happy you were there, brother. So what do you think, JP?
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I think it's great when players can go out into the community, especially the local community over there in Sacramento, and give back to the kids. You know what I mean? Just like you said, there's a lot of people don't really report on this. They always I think that's just the news media nowadays. Whenever something bad's going on or some type of drama, you know, example, Reuben Foster. They love to glorify that, and that's pretty much all they want to talk about. But when something like this, it's really not covered. So yes, big props to you, JD, to going out there and reporting on it. It was good stuff. And it was great. It's great to have actual, like, you know, players. I'm sure, you know, most of the kids there watch the Niners every Sunday. So to see, you know, their favorite player or their stars come out and show them how to play, pretty much, you know. I thought that was great. I thought that was really, really cool. As far as the interviews, yeah, Armstead, he sounds pretty excited about the season. He is moving positions. He did add on some pounds this year. So to, you know, to see how he can do on this new position. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see, like Tone said, this defense is exciting, especially how he can do in his new position. But no, it was great. It was great. Great coverage, JD. What were your thoughts on it, actually being there? How do you think the players were?
You know, first, you both mentioned about how, you know, events like this aren't really covered by the media very much when players give back. Just a couple notes on that. You're absolutely right. At the charity gala dinner on Friday night, there was only one media member there at that event, covering the event, and that was Jennifer Lee Chan of Niners Nation. She was the only media member at that event. No news, no newspapers, no TV, no nothing. And as far as the football camp on Saturday, Jennifer Lee Chan was there. I was there. You know, in addition to the Forever Faithful podcast, I'm also a sports writer for the Elk Grove Citizen newspaper. And Eric Armstead is from the Elk Grove area, so it had a lot of local tie-ins for me. Aside from that, you had a videographer from News 10 here in Sacramento, and that was pretty much it. Nobody from Fox 40 or KCRA or ABC, CBS. Nobody from the Sacramento Bee. Nobody from the San Francisco Chronicle. The media presence during this charity weekend was actually very lackluster, and I'm really surprised because it's not every day in Sacramento, in this area, that you see professional athletes giving back in the manner that Eric Armstead did. So I want to commend Eric and his family for holding this event. It was run, you know, by Eric's girlfriend. She helped organize it. Eric's brother Armand was also on hand helping out. You know, it was a big deal. Shaq Thompson also, who's from the Sacramento area, played at Grant High School, and he's currently with the Carolina Panthers. He was there. So it had a big Sacramento local feel to it. And you don't see those kind of events out here in this area. So for Eric to do this and not get the proper media attention that it deserves, and I know he's not doing it for the media, he's doing it for the kids, but it should be talked about. And so that's why I had to go out there and check out the event for myself. And, you know, I feel like it was a success. I feel like they impacted some of the young players out there. It's something that those kids are never going to forget. And, you know, it could go a long way with these kids. You know, 10 years from now, you could hear these kids talking about, yeah, when I was a kid, you know, I really wanted to be a football player, but, you know, I wasn't sure about it. And then I went to the Eric Armstead football camp, and, you know, he told me to believe in myself, and he showed me a few pointers, and, you know, it just really stuck with me. And now here I am, you know, playing college ball. Like, you never know. You never know how something like that could impact a young player. And it was 1,000 degrees. I mean, literally, it was 100 degrees, and you're at an elementary school with very little shade, tons of concrete. I mean, it was really hot. And so credit to Eric Armstead, his teammates, and all the campers that were there, you know, gutting through it. It was a kind of a really hot day. So, yeah, that was it. You know, it was a good camp. I was happy to be there. I'm glad Eric did it. And every year it's kind of gotten bigger and better. In addition to the football portion of things, he also had a health fair with various vendors and booths set up where people can, you know, get their blood pressure tested, get their vision checked, different things like that. And so every year, Eric's grown the event, gotten bigger and better, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Eric does next year. I'm sure he's going to do it even bigger and better, you know, a year from now. So with that, Eric, you know, congrats to you on a successful weekend, and we here in the Sacramento area, thank you for what you're doing in the community, and we're going to move on to third down. Okay, guys, here on third down, we just have a few bullet points we want to get to, kind of a roundtable discussion on a couple things here in Niner land. First things first, Victor Bolden, undrafted free agent kick returner from this team from a year ago, got suspended 4 games for performance-enhancing drugs or you know, violating the substance abuse policy. Victor Bolden was a guy, yeah, he showed flashes as a returner. Not going to lie, he's a promising young returner. But with the additions of guys like Dante Pettis and Richie James in the draft, Victor Bolden was already going to find it hard for himself to make this roster, I believe, you know, going into this year. Victor Bolden really only contributed as a returner, and the Niners drafted the number one and number two returners in all of college football from a year ago. So, you know, Bolden had his work cut out for him as it was. And now here we are with him being suspended these first 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy. I think the writing's on the wall for that kid. I don't, you know, now that June 1st has come and gone, I wouldn't be surprised if the team cuts ties with him, you know, in short order. So, JP, what did you think when you heard the news about Victor Bolden being suspended?
Yeah, it's real unfortunate, man. Like you were saying, he was on the bubble of being cut just because of the simple fact of, you know, us drafting Dante Pettis, and we already have some really quick returners on the team, i.e. Trent Taylor and stuff. But I looked into this a little bit further, and I guess it wasn't intentional. I think there were some supplements that he was taking, whether that be like pre-workout or whatnot, that had some sort of PED or some type of performance-enhancing drug that was banned by the NFL. So unbeknownst to him, he did take, performance enhancing. So, and John Lynch did come out and say, you know, hey, you know, this is it's a learning curve for a young kid. It's just unfortunate that he's on the bubble of this team. And, you know, before this, it looked like he wasn't really going to make it, but now I think it's almost set in stone that he's most likely going to be out the door, whether that be the first cuts or somewhat soon. You know, he looked promising last year in preseason. Yeah, I think he had that one kickoff return that looked really well. But yeah, he is most likely on his out of, you know, on his way out the door. But tough break for a young kid. You know, he did show some flashes. Maybe, you know, he can make somebody else's team, or hey, you never know. Maybe if he could make our practice squad. So we'll see. But, yeah, just real unfortunate, especially just the situation, how it went down, too. It's just kind of tough for him. But, Tone, what are your thoughts on him?
Well, I think Bourne will be gone because Dez will be coming in. Now, you know, I like him. You know, he showed some flashes last year, but he did have an uphill battle coming into the season. And this just really hurts him. But just a quick point, professional athletes, I don't know why every time, especially in a sport that I love in boxing, but I mean, it happens in all sports, baseball, football. It's you're putting supplements in your body, okay? You have to know what you're putting in your body. I mean, the NFL, VADA, USADA, the MLB, they give you a list on what you can put in your body. And you have to know and do the research. You can't just use the excuse that you unknowingly, you can't use that no more. You probably could have used that 15 years ago, but you can't do that no more. So, I mean, it's just unfortunate, but, you know, he had an uphill battle anyway, and he showed flashes last year, and it sucks. But, I mean, you got to know. You're a professional athlete. You have to know. You have to do the research. So, but, yeah, you know, we'll see what transpires in the coming weeks and even training camp. You know, we'll see what happens with him.
So there you have it. Victor Bolden suspended the first four games of the 2018 season for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. You know, we'll see what happens if he's on this roster come, you know, the start of the season. I think that he didn't do himself any favors. I can tell you that. Next bullet point we wanted to get into, if you looked on Twitter yesterday, and this is kind of piggybacking on a little discussion that 49er Tone and I had last week, Terrell Owens is campaigning to join the 49ers roster here in training camp. He says he'll play for the veteran minimum. He's tweeting John Lynch saying, hey, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo needs a big play receiver, and, you know, I'll come in and I'll play for the veteran minimum. You know, T.O., you know, doing what T.O. does, politicking, trying to get his way onto an NFL roster, just reminding guys that, hey, I'm here. I'm one of the best ever. I'm still in good shape. Bring me into camp. You know, T.O. doing what T.O. does. It wouldn't, you know, I don't expect T.O. to be signed by any NFL team. I mean, I don't see it happening. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me that T.O. wants to play. I wouldn't find it out of the question to say that, you know, watch T.O. get inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, but he's not even there for his speech because he's, you know, playing with an NFL team. Like, I could see T.O. doing something like that just because it just sounds like something that he would do. Now, personally, I don't, you know, T.O., again, if we're talking about guys that don't fit this roster, we were talking about Dez Bryant. T.O. is a similar kind of guy. I don't see T.O. fitting the scheme, you know, that Kyle Shanahan wants to run, and so, you know, obviously it's a long shot. It's probably, you know, just smoke and mirrors, just a, you know, a little fun thing to talk about. But Tone, how did you feel when you saw that the T.O. is campaigning to play with this team and had such high praise for Jimmy G?
Well, I'm glad he had high praise for Jimmy G. And, you know, but as far as him playing or trying out, I mean, he's 44 years old, you know, in his prime. You said he wouldn't fit the Cal Shanahan scheme. I think in his prime, I think Terrell Owens could fit any scheme, just the type of the receiver he was. But you're right, though. We're looking for speed. We're getting younger. You know, he's 44 years old. I mean, can't really take this too seriously. But I will say with Terrell Owens, though, is, you know, he's always in shape. He has a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, played in the Super Bowl. If Jerry Rice practiced with the players last year, you know, why not? T.O., if you want to practice with the, you know, with the players. But I think T.O. will want more than that. I think T.O. will want an actual play, actual contract. So then again, like I said last week, T.O., you know, this is the San Francisco 49ers. Dallas is over there. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. You know, we'll see. Maybe they'll bring him in, maybe talk to the players. But as far as playing a contract, nah, there's no way.
I feel like it's every season around this time, or maybe around when, you know, a big name wide receiver gets hurt, T.O. just hops on Twitter and starts talking. Hey, I'll fill in. I'll come back. I feel like that's almost every year, you know, right before the season starts, or maybe during the season when a player goes down, T.O. hops on Twitter and he's the first guy to tweet. So this is not a surprise to me. I see it all the time. And you know what? That's the way he's built. That's the way he thinks. He's a competitor. He's a great player. And he just wants to compete. So I can't blame him for that, but, just feels like all these Dallas Cowboys or former Dallas Cowboys want to come jump ship to the Niners. So I thought that's kind of funny, but yeah, I don't see this happening. Like I said, I feel like this happens almost every year around this time, T.O., but that would be pretty funny if he misses his Hall of Fame inductee because he's playing in the Hall of Fame game or something like that. So, no, I don't think this is going to happen. T.O., sit down. Go be on the cover of Madden, and that's that. So that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, Niner fans, don't expect number 81 to, you know, walk through the doors at the training facility down there in Santa Clara. It's not going to happen. But it's always good to think about. You know, it's always fun to reminisce about yesteryear. And the wonderful thing about social media is, you know, you get a glimpse into the mindset of everybody that you follow, and you know, you're kind of closer to the players than ever before with the advent of social media. You know, I'm just curious to see what John Lynch's reaction was. He pulls up his phone, checks his mentions, and sees, oh, T.O.'s tweeting me saying he wants to play. Probably laughing, you know what I mean? So, Niner fans, don't get your hopes up. It's not going to happen. So we're going to move on to the final little bullet point we wanted to get into here on the Forever Faithful podcast, and it's Richard Sherman. You know, he's come in and he's made an impact on this team. He's been a leader in the locker room. The players have responded to Richard Sherman, and that's something I never thought I would say, is that Richard Sherman is becoming a leader on the San Francisco 49ers. Like, that's crazy to think about. He's attending charity events with Eric Armstead, you know, raising $10,000 for local charities in the area. He's mentoring guys like Akello Witherspoon. He's coaching up players on the field during OTA practices. He's come in and he's done and said all the right things. I mean, obviously he's an intelligent guy, so I didn't expect any less from him. But it's just crazy to think about that Richard Sherman is becoming a leader on the San Francisco 49ers before even taking a snap. And so I wanted to get our thoughts about Richard Sherman and kind of what we've seen so far before, you know, training camp has even gotten here. Tone, I know you're a Stanford guy. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from Richard Sherman, you know, to this point?
I think it's been great. I would say it shouldn't be unexpected, but it is weird because it is with the San Francisco 49ers, but the type of person he is, you know, the not only on the field but off the field, he's very intelligent. He cares about his communities. He doesn't get in trouble. You know, he's a very smart man. He's a Stanford guy, and then on the field, he translates that intelligence on the field, and you know, his experience. You know, he is somebody who was a perfect free agent sign. That's why we were all excited for, you know, the ones that wasn't mad, you know, that let all that BS go years back, when, you know, excited for this guy. And you can see his leadership qualities already oozing through that entire defense. Everybody is coming together. I mean, you see Tart, going brain dead right now. But you see the whole entire secondary, you know, coming together, taking pictures on Twitter, going ahead and making jokes on Twitter. I mean, you know, going to other people's events. You see Richard Sherman going to supporting Reuben Foster. He didn't even know this man yet, and he was already showing up at the court. I mean, his presence in that locker room is already becoming really big and very important. And his leadership, him, even if he's, you know, in and out of the games, him being on the sidelines is going to do big things for us and help our players grow. You know, I'm sorry, I went totally brain dead earlier, but I was talking about Witherspoon and Colbert. But then, you know, you got Reuben Foster, you got the guys on the D line. Everybody's going to, you know, go towards this guy. It's just a big signing, and it's for this young defense. I mean, I couldn't be happier from the type of person he is and his experience, from, you know, somebody they can learn from. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Richard Sherman.
I agree with you, Tone. You know, going even when he was with Seattle, as much as we disliked him, just seeing him even on the field, out, you know, besides off the field, he was a leader. As much as we hate to give him praise, he was a leader. So when he came over to the Niners, I kind of expected that. I don't know how he was really gonna gel with all the players, but I'm really surprised. I mean, he has been, like Tom was saying, he was there for Reuben Foster, didn't even know the guy. You know, he's really brought in Keather Witherspoon, all of our secondary and everybody. Tone, you touched on it a little bit. I'm on Twitter a lot, but he's going back and forth, you know, joking and giving praise sometimes to some of our some of the guys on Twitter. And it's not only the defensive guys. You know, I saw him going back and forth with Trent Taylor. And he's just, you know, a lot of the players refer to him as Uncle Sherm. And you know, I guess he's just embraced it. He's the veteran uncle of the team, good old Uncle Sherm. So it's great to see that. You know, he not only brings leadership and whatnot, but he can definitely show everyone how to play the game and how to be a professional at it. You know, it's kind of weird talking like this about Richard Sherman. Especially after that NFC Championship game. I don't know how many people would call him professional, but but he's a pro's pro. You know what I mean? And it shows. I mean, I think everyone was pleasantly surprised when he was coaching up all the secondary. You know, he can't even play yet. I don't think he's quite cleared yet to participate in any of the OTAs or anything like that. But he's out there. He's out there. You know, coaching them up, and it's great to see. So just having his presence on this team, I think it's going to help our secondary big time. And then if he can play the way he, you know, normally plays, I think our secondary is going to be one to mess with, man. And I'm pretty excited about it. So it's good. It's good to see him out there. Hopefully we can keep it up. And I think he's keeping all another thing. My last point, I think he's keeping everybody level headed too. I feel like a lot of young players with who had, you know, somewhat success, I think they tend to get, you know, real big headed and try to, you know, try to be bigger than the team. And I think Sherman or Uncle Sherm is going to kind of bring him down to earth a little bit and you know, humble him a little bit. So I'm excited to see what it's worth, and I'm just excited for the season, guys. Is it football yet? Damn it!
You know, it's funny. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, did you ever think we would be referring to Richard Sherman as Uncle Sherm? I mean, it's just crazy to think about, but...
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, but there you have it, Niner fans. Just a couple bullet points we wanted to get into here on third down. With that, we're going to get into our fourth and final down of the episode. And here we go, fourth down. Typically here on fourth down, we want to get into your questions, your thoughts, and things that you want us to hit on. But this week, we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. There's been a big trending post on social media talking about all-time favorite 49ers at all the major positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, defensive back, and special teams. So I thought it'd be a fun idea for us to go through our lists of our own personal favorites at each area of the team. And Tone, why don't you lead us off with your favorites? And you know, and obviously some of these names are going to be kind of self-explanatory. So if you want to go a little more in depth on some of the, I don't want to say obscure, but some of the names that might stand out, the Niner fans might scratch their heads, or you know, it's not it's not Jerry Rice, it's not Joe Montana, but this is my favorite guy at this position. You know, give a little bit of more of an in-depth look at some of the names that you know might not necessarily be what the consensus thinks.
Well, my my list consists of, you know, some of those big names, like you said. But when I posted this list on Twitter, it was in my head, I was looking at the players that I grew up on. So, I mean, I love Ronnie Lott. I love Joe Montana. You know, I love all that. Even some of the older players that you watch on NFL footage. You know, NFL classic films, but these are the players I grew up on, so they're attached to me, just a little bit different. And so this is when I created a list. So mine would be quarterback. You go Steve Young. You know, that's a big name. Running back Frank Gore. You know, everything that he's done for this organization. I mean, you know, Frank Gore. That's all you have to say. The greatest running back in 49er history. And, of course, wide receiver, the GOAT, Jerry Rice. Those would be my guys. Now, tight end, I went with Vernon Davis. And I grew up on Brent Jones, and I love Brent Jones a lot. But Vernon Davis, from when we drafted him, from when he started, he seemed like a selfish type player, you know, coming up. But then, you know, Singletary set him straight. And then ever since then, he's been just such a positive influence in that locker room. And, you know, he is one of the most clutch 49ers in postseason when it comes to the postseason, because when it comes down to it, you know, the whole is he fitting with Colin Kaepernick in the playoffs? He showed up and balled out. You know, his chemistry with Alex Smith showed up and balled out. I mean, he was in that 2011 playoffs. He was a freak. In that Atlanta game, when they were saying Kaepernick didn't have the chemistry with them, in the NFC Championship game, Vernon Davis showed up and balled out. I mean, this guy, he's incredible when it comes to postseason and clutchness. So, and I love Brent Jones, but I got to go with my man Vernon. Offensive line, I went with Jesse Sapolu. You know, he's a friend of our tailgates as well. But growing up, I mean, he was a guy who was – one of the leaders on that offensive line. I mean, his body of work, you know, speaks volumes. He's a hog, man. He's just, you know, we had a smaller offensive line back then. But you know, he protected two Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back. And, I mean, you know, Sapolu, he's the man. Of course, D line, I went with Bryant Young, BY, very underappreciated, not in 49er land, but appreciate it all over the country. Brian Young, he's the man. Should be in the Hall of Fame. He came back after that freakish leg injury, I believe in 97, 98, I forget what year. But, you know, Brian Young is the man. You know, he was a mainstay here and put his heart and soul into this team. And if you're a 49er fan, and you're a little younger and you don't know about BY, man, look him up, man. He's a beast. Linebacker, I went with JD's favorite, Patrick Willis. You know, P. Willie, man, the man child, man. Patrick Willis, one of the greatest linebackers of all time, is still, in my opinion. He had a lot more in his career. We already talked about that. But as far as his body of work, man, leader on that defense, ever since he walked through those doors, Absolutely love him. Now, DB, I went with Tim McDonald and Merton Hanks because those were my two favorites as a kid. You know, Tim McDonald played like Ronnie Lott, very underappreciated. He was the man in that secondary. You did not want to come across the middle with Timmy Mack. And then, of course, Merton Hanks with the chicken head dance, you know, him getting interceptions. I remember playing football as a kid, wanting to wear number 36 and score, intercept the ball, score a touchdown, do that dance. I mean, Merton Hanks was big for us, especially when he moved, you know, he played safety and corner. Love that guy. And then special teams, I went with Joe Nedney. And the reason being with that, I mean, he, in our down years, he was the mainstay and the Mr. Consistency for us in scoring points. I mean, we had horrible offenses back then, and we got into the red zone, and, you know, we didn't score a lot of touchdowns, and he was the guy who was Mr. Reliable. So I went with Nedney. But, yeah, that's my list. Those are the guys I grew up on. Of course, fan, you know, my favorites, you know, some names might be changed, but those are the names I grew up on, and that's what I based this one on. And, yeah, JP, man, I would love to see your list, man. What you got for us?
Yeah, man, I think all of our lists are somewhat similar, but yeah, I'll totally break down my list. Quarterback, I know it's one of my favorites. It's, I mean, I didn't grow up watching him, but, you know, from what I was told and all the things that I've seen on him, Joe Montana, I think there's no denying that, you know, he's the GOAT. Running back, Frank Gore, like you said, greatest 49er running back of all time, Frankie G. Wide receiver, again, the GOAT, Jerry Rice. Tight end, I had Brett Jones. I know Vernon Davis was yours, Tone. But Brett Jones, he was pivotal in that 90s Cowboys rivalry, man. He was pivotal. He was the one that was doing all the grunt work, you know, the little checkdowns and whatnot. He's by far one of my favorites. Offensive line, Joe Staley. You know, he's a longtime Niner. He's been through the shittiest of teams. But he stuck through, and man, you know, if there's anybody that I really want to get somebody to get a ring, it's Joe Staley, and obviously Frank Gore too. I don't think he's going to get it this year with Miami, but yeah, those are the two guys that they've struggled so much with you know, shitty teams, and you know, they kept their head down and they worked their ass off. So they definitely deserve a ring. You know, they're amazing, amazing players. Defensive line, I can't agree with you more, Tone. B.Y., Bryant Young, he was, you know, growing up, I looked up to him. He was a great offensive lineman. He's there for, you know, years and years. He was there for the 94 Super Bowl. And fun fact, me and Bryant Young share a birthday, January 27th. So makes it a little bit easier to like him as well. Patrick Willis at linebacker, I think there's no question in that. You know, one of the greatest. I love Patrick Willis. Just a shame that he retired a little early, but love Patrick Willis. DB, this kind of threw some people off here. I agree with you partly, Tone. You know, Merton Hanks, I love the chicken dance. You know, it's something somebody that I looked up to, you know, when he took pick sixes back to the house and whatnot. But another guy that I liked was Ahmed Plummer. Ahmed Plummer, I mean, growing up, I don't know why there's this one game I remember. It was week one. Can't quite remember the year, but we're playing the Chicago Bears. And I think we beat them pretty handily, but it was at the end of the game. They were driving, and Ahmed Plummer had a pick six for like 60, 70 yards, ran it back to the house, and I was pumped. And ever since that game, you know, Ahmed Plummer has been one of my favorite 49er secondary players. Really underrated. Not too many people talk about him. I think he's one of the forgotten Niners. But you know, back in the day when we had our down years and whatnot, I think he was up there. And special teams, you know, I was going to go with Joe Nedney. It was very, very tempting, Tone. But I think I'm going to go with the GOAT of Andy Lee. Three-time Pro Bowler. You know, back in those days when we couldn't get into the red zone, or when we did, or whatever, he was there His punts were amazing. As disappointed as we were when we had somebody to punt, he would pin him deep inside the 10. But he was, you know, I think he was there for the Super Bowl season. So Andy Lee, the GOAT. I was going to get his jersey at one time, but that was my special team. So that's my list. You know, nothing too crazy, but those are the people I think. JD, you got anybody that stands out?
You know, I definitely do. You know, for those that don't know, we're all right around the same age, but we all come from different backgrounds, and we all have our own feelings on players that we like and don't like. And my list is a little bit different. You know, there's some similarities, but there's also some differences on my list compared to your guys'. As far as quarterback, I put two names, and it's not the two names that you would think. It's not Joe Montana. It's not Steve Young. My two favorite 49er quarterbacks of all time are Turlock's own Colin Kaepernick and the new guy, Jimmy G. You know, I'm 30 years old. The last time the Niners won a Super Bowl in 1994, I was seven. That, you know, I was 7 years old when Steve Young won a ring for this team. So personally, I don't feel much of a connection to the old guard as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers. My list has a little bit of the old school and the new school in it, but as far as quarterback goes, I really just find myself, you know, liking guys like Colin Kaepernick and Jimmy G, some of the new school guys. Colin Kaepernick, I would say, is probably the most athletic quarterback this team has ever had. And, you know, that really stuck out to me. And, you know, him being a local guy from Turlock, that also played a big role. And Jimmy G, of course, you know, he's only played five games, but I'm liking what I'm seeing. And I just have this gut feeling that when it's all said and done, Jimmy G is going to be the next great all-time Niner quarterback. So there you have it as far as my quarterbacks go.
Ooh, that's a hell of a pick, brother. Now, what about Jeff Garcia? I'm surprised you didn't go that route. What's your feeling on that?
I love Jeff Garcia. Big-time Jeff fan, man. You know, that was kind of the start of my era. You know, Jeff Garcia, T.O., I love me some Jeff Garcia. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. There's something about Colin Kaep and Jimmy G that's just that's where my heart's at, man. I can't fake it. So as far as running backs go, I think we're all in agreement. Frank Gore, Frank the Tank, the 49ers all-time leading rusher. He's probably going to end up being in the top three, top four of all time NFL running backs when it's all said and done. Frank Gore is just he is what he is. He's the GOAT of 49er running backs. I mean, you can't really dispute that. I know Roger Craig was great. Ricky Waters was great. You know, this team's had some good running backs over the years, but Frank Gore's the man, and you can't really tell me otherwise. As far as favorite 49er wide receiver ever, this is where we get a little bit different.
Uh-oh.
And I think you know who it is if you've listened to this podcast, at least recently.
Yes, J.J. Stokes, right?
Yeah, it's J.J. Stokes. Yeah, no, I was going to say A.J. Jenkins, but A.J. Stokes is good. No, my favorite 49er receiver of all time is Terrell Owens. And, you know, I love me some T.O., common knowledge if you listen to this podcast. I'm a huge T.O. guy. Loved the swagger he brought to the team and the confidence and the arrogance and the touchdown celebrations. Everything about T.O., man. As a young kid, watching T.O., that, you know, big T.O. guy. I'm happy he's going into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I wish he would come back and play, but I won't get my wish. It's not going to happen. 49ers tight ends. My favorite Niner tight end ever, Vernon Davis. Just a freak of nature. He can do it all. He's a great blocker. One of the best blockers at tight end during his time, in the entire NFL. You know, speed freak, physical. The only gripe with Vernon Davis is that he didn't catch with his hands very well. But he could do everything on the field you needed him to do. You know, love me some Vernon Davis. Offensive line. Initially, I was going to put down Joe Staley. I have tons of respect for Joe Staley. I love what he's done for this team. He's a consummate pro. He's a 49er lifer. Love me some Joe Staley, but just off pure instinct of this discussion, just favorite all-time Niner O-lineman, I have a soft spot for Mike Iupati. You know, I love watching him play. He was a hell of a road grader as a run blocker. Anytime this team would run the ball, they ran it behind Mike Iupati. And he was just different. You know, I don't know if it's because he was just the Samoan lineman and that stood out to me. I don't know. I had a thing for Mike Iupati. I really like what he did for this team. And, you know, it sucks that he had to move on and, you know, ended up playing for a division rival in the Arizona Cardinals. But I liked Mike Iupati when he was here. Just an absolute animal. Defensive line, Bryant Young, B.Y., the GOAT of Niner D linemen. Just an iron man on this team, played for this team for so many years. What more can we say about Bryant Young? I mean, he is who he is. He's one of the best ever. You know, he got a ring with us in his rookie year in 1994 and was kind of chasing another one ever since. It sucks that he couldn't get another one by the time he was done playing. But Bryant Young, one of the most respected 49ers ever. And I was there at Candlestick Park during his last game when he got carried off the field. And, you know, tons of respect for Bryant Young. I tip my hat off to him. And, you know, definitely consider him my favorite 49ers defensive lineman of all time. As far as linebacker goes, you guys are going to laugh. It's Patrick Willis. Now, you guys have given me a lot of grief over my takes on Patrick Willis after he retired. You know, I have no problems with Patrick Willis when he was on the field. Patrick Willis was an absolute animal. Top three 49er defensive player of all time. Greatest linebacker on this team ever, no question. I just, you know, I have an issue with the way he ended things, but on the field, love me some Patrick Willis. Defensive back, this is another name that we had different. I went with Primetime. I went with Deion. He only had 1 year on this team. He left and went and played for the Dallas Cowboys, so a lot of Niner fans don't like Deion for that reason. But, again, you know, I love T.O. for his arrogance and swagger and just what, you know, that kind of thing that he brought to the team. Same thing with Deion Sanders. Something to me about the guys that can talk all the mess in the world, talk all the trash in the world, and go out there and back it up. And Deion definitely did that. You know, probably the best cornerback of all time. And he came to this team in 1994, helped us get a ring, won Defensive Player of the Year, and wore a bandana while he was doing it. So, Deion Sanders, just his swag and everything he brought to this team that year. I love what he did here. And then special teams. This is the most obscure name on my list. And a lot of Niner fans, I don't even know if Niner fans will remember this guy. Blake Costanzo, special teams ace, special teams gunner, guy making tackles all over the field during the Harbaugh years, especially during that 2011 season when the Niners had the Tony Montana squad. You know, all the music playing in the background by Future and the guys getting hyped up right before the kickoff. And Blake Costanzo started all that. Blake Costanzo, again, you know, he kind of brought some swag to the team with the music and the dancing, and he started all that. And, you know, I love me some Blake Costanzo, man. I wanted to get his jersey, and, you know, he moved on too quick. But just for what he did in that short amount of time, it stood out to me. So Blake Costanzo is my favorite Niner special teams player of all time. So there we have it, guys. Episode 8 of the Forever Faithful podcast is in the books. Hit on a lot of topics today. We appreciate everybody that tunes in each and every week. And keep it locked here because, you know, we're going to keep bringing you content each and every week as we get closer and closer to the 2018 NFL season. And, of course, once the season kicks off, there's going to be so much to talk about. But I think there we have it, guys, unless JP Tone, you guys don't have anything else to add. I think we can go ahead and wrap this baby up.
Yeah, man, just a great, great podcast as always. Great time recording with you guys, man. You know, just everybody listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. If you can please comment, subscribe, like, rate, give us 5 stars, iTunes, review, anything that you can. Show the support. Get this podcast out there. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you guys, man, for listening. So, yeah, great podcast as always, fellas. And, yeah, man, I'm excited, man, getting closer to football season.
Blake Costanzo? The fuck? No, I'm just playing, y'all. No, it was a great podcast. I loved it, man. It's one step closer to football, man. Can't wait. JD, send us out, man.
All right, everybody, until next week. This has been the Forever Faithful Podcast. I'm JD. That was JP and 49er Tone. Until next time, you know what it is. It's one team, one family, and one goal.